Greetings, Wargamers. We're your hosts, Trevor,
Jay,
Josh,
and this is
Shane Attack.
Is sponsored by Discount Games Incorporated. Discount Games Incorporated offers the maximum discount on Privateer Press products. When you order $30 or more, you'll receive free or reduced shipping. You can find the web store at www.discountgamesinc.com. Welcome to Chain Attack, the War Machine and Hordes podcast. I'm your host, Trevor, and I play Crucible Guard, although the forums tell me that they're solved now.
Wait, really?
What's the solution? There's a disagreement.
There's a disagreement.
Trevor just described the internet in three words. There's a disagreement.
So they built a supercomputer, and they said that the solution to the Crucible Guard was 42. Then they built another set of supercomputers to ask what the question was.
Solution might be
amazing reference.
The wrong term, but basically that they've reached the end of the line. The thought process has been completed. There is no new Crucible Guard lists under the sun. All Crucible Guard lists are a variation upon the two or three that are currently being used everywhere.
So is it all Sylvestro and Gerhardt?
Yes, pretty okay. much.
Really?
Yep.
The choo-choo train lady's gone? Why did I just forget her name? McKay?
I
mean, I get that Juice Bro is gone, even though
he was never there.
I know. My favorite meme of Crucible Guard meme was like a guy is mowing his lawn and he represents Juice Bro, right? And then behind him is like a tornado, and the tornado is basically Sylvestro and
Part of the issue is the current meta sort of demands those two.
Okay.
So I'm not. I would never say that McKay is not possible. I'm just saying that McKay is not the best against the available.
Yeah, I mean the
meta.
So I love the idea that it's solved because that means the meta will never change.
Correct.
And, and you'll never have to adjust.
Well, that's where the disagreement comes. Is this ever going to change prior to a new release? So think about that while you're laying on your pillow and your wife's wondering what. Why you're not talking to her.
I bet he's thinking about other girls.
Is Crucible Guard solved? Memes, that's what we do.
I'm Jay, and I play Infernals.
I'm Josh, and I'm not going to lie. I need an audio meme podcast in my life, okay?
Well,
like, some of my favorite podcasts are basically radio drama.
Okay. You know? That's a little bit of a leap.
Yeah, that's... But I love it.
Basically, the only thing that gets me through the day at this point are political memes.
I just read your shirt, and your shirt is amazing, Jay. Jay is wearing a cute, stylized Winnie the Pooh on his t-shirt, and it says, "No bothers given," which I know the way that would get said in any other world except for Disney.
So, funny story about this.
Okay.
So, I was... Brian and I, you're going to have a hard time believing this, but this one time, Brian and I were at Disneyland.
That's basically as common as it was a dark and stormy night.
Yes. And it was last day of the trip, and I was wearing this shirt on my trip.
Okay.
And we even though LAX is certainly not the closest airport to Disneyland, it's the one that we fly to because... One time we went to John Wayne and they had like mechanical issues and we were there for like 12, 18 hours, something
That's
like that.
That's funny because my wife has the exact opposite.
And well,
like
see,
she's like LAX's nightmare fuel.
Right, it
and
is.
I will only ever fly to John Wayne.
And but the,
That's so funny.
The thing about it is that there's no Sky Club
at
John
Wayne.
Wayne.
Yeah.
And there is at LAX. And so his
So when the inevitable happens, you have a place to stay.
Yeah. LAX. It's like having a zombie bunker.
Correct, yes.
You can wait it out.
So we go to LAX, which it's even more, I mean, it's even more of a pain going there now because you can't, when you When you arrive at LAX, before you just get your luggage and we get on a taxi and go about our merry way. Now they're you can't. They don't have taxis there at the luggage place. You have to take a bus to the taxi.
Whoa! To even get a taxi.
Why? Yes. Why is that?
Wow!
Security.
I think because it was an improvement.
Don't you just love these little air quotes improvements to your life?
I mean, people have complained about, you know, getting in, dropping off at LAX. Anyways, so last day at Disneyland, we go to LAX. We go to I'm wearing this shirt. We go check in at the Sky Club, and the lady checking me in she's like looking at my shirt, and she's like, she's kind of like, I feel like this should be funny, but I don't understand what the joke is. And so I had to explain to this.
Was it like a sweet old lady kind of thing almost?
She was probably in her 50s.
Yeah. That's cool.
Sure.
I can be considered sweet.
Now. You're also old.
Yeah, that's fair. That's
yeah, true. You know how 50 used to seem like ancient when you were a kid?
Oh my gosh, yes.
I'm like, yeah, that's only 8 years away.
I remember when my dad turned 50, he was like, I'm an old man, you have to help me out of my chair now, and...
I sent my.
Isn't that when you get your AARP card or whatever? Or is that 55?
I sent my father black balloons on his 40th birthday.
So I'm assuming that the No Bothers Given is not an officially licensed Disney.
It might be licensed. I don't know. It is.
I highly doubt it.
Yeah, I mean, it's from T-Turtle, and they do have a Disney line, but it might just be fair use. I don't know.
I love that the t-shirt industry is kind of like fair use. We'll throw that shit out. We'll just do whatever the hell we want.
That is a true
story.
Kind of assuming bad, actually.
That T-Turtle does some stuff that obviously is licensed.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so I'm assuming that they wouldn't necessarily want to piss off Disney too much with fair use stuff.
Well, I mean, this is tame. It's like, it amuses me.
Sure.
It's the way I would
say it. It made Captain America chuckle.
I caught that reference.
Nice.
All right. Community builders.
Yes. Okay. First of all, muy kudos, much thanks to the community.
Muy caliente.
Yes, there have been a lot more threads this week. I am giving top marks to the first thread that basically made all of my dreams come true. So, I'm not suggesting that he's the only one who found this, but he's the one who put it on community. So David Bartley shared the link to the Hengehold Scrolls Reader. Yes, please inject it directly into my veins. It is a website that takes the Hengehold Scrolls Twitter feed and has them broken into the paragraphs with the picture. It is a delightful way to absorb the Hengehold tweets, for the record. Kudos to David Bartley. As far as good one... or good conversations that are going on, I will point out one that Brian Sin started, talking about something they're going to try in their local meta, where they're going to have one gaming day dedicated to competitive tournament practice and the other gaming day dedicated to, air quotes, fun, where they're trying out new stuff and jank. So I think it's great that their local meta is kind of trying to set up space for both those things. And I think, sometimes one can contribute to the other. I mean, if you have a space where you feel like you can try out new lists with a complete, without complete and total obliteration, healthy. Anyway, there's some good conversation going on about it. Those are my two that I'm highlighting. So thanks, community. Everybody enjoy the Hengehold Scrolls Reader. I know I did.
You still haven't read it? It was still too much effort to click on one link. Actually, it was the reading part of it that I didn't want to have to do.
Okay, so the next thing we need to find... See, you need audio memes too. You just want someone to read the Hengehold Scrolls Reader to you.
That might help.
I'm going to record myself doing that.
I would have to put down the other podcasts I'm listening to right now to actually listen to it. So I suppose that would probably happen.
For the record, have either of you listened to The Missing Crypto Queen?
No.
Do you listen to Planet Money?
No.
You're saying words, but I don't understand any of
them. Planet Money, other than Chain Attack, of course, they did a podcast about this basically scam cryptocurrency called OneCoin. That got created and has hoovered up over $4 billion of money from all over the world. And it is a fascinating story.
I was going to make a statement and or joke, and okay. I was a little bit worried that we would just get, like, spammed with hate in the podcast email, but whatever, I'll go for it. So how exactly do you tell a scam crypto from one that's legit?
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and make sure that you get additional hate mail, right?
Great.
First of all, this thing's built. It's sold on an MLM engine.
Okay, yes, of course,
okay,
yes.
Okay, it has no blockchain.
Okay.
It has no blockchain. What the hell? How do you...
You cannot actually spend or trade the money, the one coin.
Then why in the hell would anyone ever buy it?
Well, if you listen to the Missing Crypto Queen, you will still probably have that question.
Wait,
but I am telling you that many, many people have spent lots and lots of this thing. It is scary / sad.
So is that a common theme of her or his or whoever's
this
podcast?
So Planet Money just does lots of money things. So they like...
Oh, this was a Planet Money podcast.
It was a Planet Money episode about OneCoin. Yeah. And they mentioned, they're like, this is from this BBC podcast, eight-part podcast called The Missing Crypto Queen.
And so you listened to the eight-part?
So I listened to the eight-part, and I couldn't put it down. I was just like, you know, like, it's the train wreck thing.
Right,
where you're
right,
like,
right, yeah.
You, what? What? You know, like, I'm doing that, like, over and over again. My wife's like, are you dying in the bathroom in there? You know,
I have some stories to tell you about actual, like, legitimate cryptocurrency.
And that's also scary?
I don't know if it's scary, but it's certainly interesting. It's intriguing that cryptocurrency is the one currency that can actually be lost forever, and it's gone.
Yeah, I've actually heard a few of those stories, probably on a Planet Money. Yeah. Once you're done listening to Chain Attack, listen to Planet Money.
I had a bit of a scare with that.
With cryptocurrency?
No, so on my most recent trip to Disneyland, this is evidently the Disneyland podcast.
Nice.
The front desk.
It's like the slightly dark Disneyland podcast.
The front desk.
The Double D podcast.
Messed up our reservation what they were doing with our credit card, etc. And so they gave us back a gift card that was for like $730.
Whoa! Okay.
And I lost it.
Oh my! it's good that I've already had my children, because you just rendered me infertile, I'm pretty sure.
So,
oh my gosh.
I went back to them and I'm like, so can you guys do something about this? And they're like, no. It's basically like it's cash. And so then I looked in my wallet and I had the receipt that they gave me with it.
Uh-huh.
And with that, they're now mailing me a $730 replacement card.
Wow. Don't get me wrong. I've lost more money than that. I've lost more money than that with just a bad bid on a change order, but that burns. Yeah. I'm glad that got replaced. Thanks for the happy ending to the story, Jay.
Okay. Discount Games Inc. Really, this next one is for you, Trevor. It's all you ever needed in your life.
Okay.
So, official release date is this Friday, so the day that this drops. One, Star-Lord is in his own box, and Rocket Raccoon and Groot are in their own box.
Okay, so
both releasing.
The Guardians leader Rocket.
Oh, brother.
Yes.
Yes. You'll be out on Friday. Got it.
Yes.
I'm excited.
Hey, they're actually, I like Rocket and Groot quite a bit.
I don't know anything about them. I haven't seen their cards.
Rocket's only...
Do they combo together well?
Yes. Rocket's only 2 points, but he has a range 5 gun.
Holy cow.
And he doesn't have many hit points, but he can shunt attacks on him onto Groot.
Okay.
And Groot has good healing.
Yeah, so I'm going to... I'm assuming that he's not the leader according to the game rules, but I'm going to... I will always take Star-Lord, and then I will Photoshop the cards to make sure that the leader ability is on Rocket.
Okay.
As it should be.
Oh, boy.
Interestingly enough, Thor does work pretty well with the Asgardians of the Galaxy as well.
Oh, excellent. I haven't bought him yet either. I can't keep up. Their release schedule is intense right now.
I
mean, you don't have to buy any War Machine stuff for a couple months. So.
That's true.
Is that consolation
it's
prize?
They took mercy on you or something.
This is not
that.
A right now thing. And I know that Asmodee is like, wow, how are you guys making this much product? We're impressed. Okay. For Muse on Minis, come see us at Adepticon if it happens.
Scary.
And
is there a significant possibility that it's going to be canceled? Have they talked about it at all?
They haven't said anything.
There are quite a few things getting...
Yeah, like South by Southwest was canceled.
If you told me that Adepticon was canceled, I would not. Like, there's some conversation about Gen Con, potentially.
Gen Con's a ways out, though.
Canceling, isn't there?
I don't know. I don't know.
I thought I read a news article that said there was a conversation.
I will mention that I have a sore throat. I recently went to a board game convention where we played a dozen games that were all checked out of the library, touched by dozens of other gamers in a large convention hall.
You're going to be patient zero for Idaho Falls.
No, I'm blaming Josh.
I was sick. I came there.
Yeah, he was patient zero. My wife and I are currently under the weather. A little.
I'm sorry. I only feel bad.
I can't 100% blame you. I did touch a million different game pieces, two games that came out of the library, were touched by a million other gamers. So.
Brian came home from Disneyland. Super sick. Yeah. It was really kind of strange. So usually our Disneyland trips are Thursday through Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got there on Thursday, it was probably the emptiest we've ever seen Disneyland.
Oh, really?
But then it got busier after that. And on Monday it was pretty busy as well. And I think part of it was that I think that's when the people's spring breaks are starting and they'd already
booked
planned
stuff, right?
Their vacations and stuff. And so they're like, screw it, we're going to go through and do this. And
so this is evidently, and this is just a little foreshadowing for the Dank Dune meme, this is evidently turning into the coronavirus section of the podcast.
I mean, right? It is fairly topical. Right?
Yeah. We've been watching plane tickets to go to Dallas for Board Game GeekCon in spring, right?
Yeah.
They dropped in half.
Oh, wow.
I think on Thursday, actually. Uh-huh. Or right now,
I've been waiting for Delta to do that.
So we pulled the trigger on them.
So speaking of the coronavirus, my ex-wife just posted a GIF that I have to share. It says, the caption is, parents, panic buying tissues and toilet paper. And then it shows children.
Yeah. Is that the one where the little girl's like licking the stair rail?
Yes. She's going back and forth, licking about a foot and a half of the stair rail.
It's funny because it's accurate.
It's true.
Shall I dank, Jay?
Real quick before
we
leave the coronavirus segment.
This is still slightly related.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Carry on.
Actually, I'll have two coronavirus related things.
Okay. All right. Which, by the way, I know that it's a serious thing, and
yes, anybody who's impacted by it, please be rest assured that we're not trying to make light of that.
Yeah, yeah, not at all. But it is generating some great memes, for the record.
It also, like, one of the coping mechanisms with a crisis is humor.
No, that's true. So. That is true. That's definitely one of mine. It's funny because I think our community is all of a sudden going to be taking it more seriously. I don't know if you saw, because the LDS Church is not having people come to their general conference in April.
Correct. They're going to be they'll do talks in a vacant room.
If ever there was a target audience susceptible to
like
being vulnerable, it's leadership of the Mormon Church.
Well, they had already said they weren't going to bring any out of country.
Yeah, right, they'd already announced
that. But now it's like literally no one is going to be there.
Yeah,
except for like the people filled or whatever. Right. So okay, so here is my coping meme. It's dank.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, yeah.
You said it's right. It'll work.
Okay. This is basically a 11-step directions on washing your hands, right?
Okay, yep. Uh-huh, yeah.
With the litany of fear written over top of it. It's so good. I must not fear. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death that brings total obliteration. Here I am. I'm washing between my fingers right now. I will face my fear. I will permit it to pass over me and through me. And when it has gone past, I will turn the inner eye to see its path. Where the fear has gone, here I am shutting off the faucet with my paper towel. There will be nothing. Only I will remain. Clean hands at the end, Trevor. It is one of my favorite manifestations of both the Dank Dune meme and the virus. Back to you, Jay.
Okay, so my manager, Nate, he puts in a lot of hours. He works hard and doesn't take much time off.
Okay.
And like half a year ago, he comes to me and he's like, okay, so my mom has offered to buy a cruise ticket for her, myself, and my daughter. And it's going to be, you know, he gives me the date range. I'm like, well, it's the same date range that I'm going to be at Adepticon. But let me talk to the other guys. I think we can
cover,
make it work out. You know, you never get time off. Let's make this happen.
Yeah, yeah.
And so now he's slated to go on a cruise so at the end of the month.
In 2 weeks.
In two, right? Yes.
Oh,
my. And I don't know, man.
So should we send him the meme that says, like, the coronavirus cruise deal? Buy 1 week, get 2 weeks free.
No, I don't think that he needs any
further discouragement.
Yeah.
Like, you think he might not go?
I think he probably will go. Okay. But he's definitely, like,
well, assuming increasing the nervousness, like, right?
Right, yeah. Assuming that, it, like, the CDC was like, hey, don't do cruises.
Yeah, right.
So,
that was like yesterday, right?
Interesting.
I mean, I hope he gets to go, honestly. But
I hope he has amazing time.
I'm sure that's too,
but.
Oh, that's funny.
Other. This isn't funny, or I just thought this was
topical.
Interesting.
Okay.
Okay. So soap and water is very effective at combating the coronavirus.
In some ways, potentially more effective even than the Lysol.
Sanitizer.
Sanitizer.
Yeah.
Alcohol.
Yeah. And so the reason why is because the outside of the coronavirus is a lipid layer, which is fat, and fat is especially susceptible to soap.
So I should start eating.
There's your microbiology.
That is interesting. I didn't even know that. Yeah. That's all right. Cool.
I know some people are going to totally catch it then.
Are you saying they're allergic to the soap and waters?
Not actually. Just
actions appear to indicate.
Yeah,
that,
yes. they act as though.
Okay.
Man, Jay, I might need an interesting science facts from Jay Corner from now on. That's good stuff, dude.
Are we going to hire someone to fact check us? Yeah. Because I'm
listen,
saying
listen.
We don't want to be the source
internet.
Of...
There was a disagreement.
Many people are saying.
I started listening to a history podcast, and they clearly don't have a fact checker.
Oh, yeah.
And they're... I mean, they're not like a serious... history podcast.
It's not Dan Carlin.
No.
All right.
And Dan still gets quite a few things wrong that he has to come back and say, sorry, I screwed that up.
That's right.
But these guys are like, just straight up, don't even bother. They just spout shit. It's completely wrong. Don't care. Keep going. Never even give a retraction. I couldn't put up for very
right.
long.
Right.
Yeah.
It's
like,
too much.
That's not right, I don't think. Let me go check. It's not. What the hell?
Okay.
All right, Jay, what's up?
So let's talk about some War Machine.
Let's do it.
So
forecast.
We're going to
workshopping that.
Go into the Wayback Machine and do Jeez. The
Is this where I say like kids ask your parents about grandparents?
Yeah.
Ask your grandparents?
I mean you're getting to that range easily.
How dare you?
It's true. What do you mean, how dare you? Do any of your kids seen that show?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
All right, we're in the Wayback Machine, Jay. What are we looking at?
Okay, so we're going to do a forecaster four-way of the two casters from episode 2 of Chantak Mark 1, all about War Machine Mark 2, episode 2.
It was not called that at the time.
It wasn't.
Good retcon, Jay. Nice retcon.
Thank you.
It would have been amazing if we'd called it that, though. We had the forethought.
So first up?
Okay, so first we're going to do Harkovich.
Commander Harkovich, the Iron Wolf?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so why don't we start off with you reading to us Harkovich's card?
Okay. He is a Kador Warcaster, Harkovich 1, Focus 6, Speed 5, Strength 7, Mat 7, Rat 6, Defense 14, arm 16, command of 8 on a small base. He has a hand cannon, range 12, rate of fire 1, POW 12, and his weapon is Minister, range 1, POW strength 7, magical.
Better known as the Ham.
It's the Ham? Is that really what?
It looks like a ham.
Okay. He has 18 hitboxes and 28 warjack. He abilities, he has Field Marshal reposition 3 inches. Warjacks in this model's battle group gain repositions 3 inches. And Iron Sentinel, while base-to-base with a friendly faction Warjack, this model gains +2 defense on arm and cannot become knocked down. Minister, the Ham, has Stagger. Models hit by this attack lose their initial attacks and cannot make power attacks or special attacks for one round. His spells, he has Bombshell, which is cost 3, range 10, AoE 3, POW 13. On a critical hit, models hit are thrown d6 inches directly away from the attacker. Roll distance once for all models affected. Models thrown do not deviate. Move models farthest from the attacker first. Instead of suffering blast damage, models hit but not directly hit suffer a POW 10 damage roll. The POW of collateral damage is 10. Broadside is cost 3, range self, AoE control. Models in the spellcaster's battle group currently in its control range can immediately make one basic ranged attack. Broadside can be cast only once per activation. Jumpstart is a cost 1, range self, AoE control. Models in the spellcaster's battle group that are currently in its control range stand up and are no longer stationary. Affected models can turn to face any direction. Models that were knocked down this turn are not affected by jump stab. And mobility, which is cost 3, range self, AoE control, lasts for a turn. Models in the spellcaster's battle group currently in its control range gain plus 2 speed and pathfinder. And then his feat, Hour of the Wolf, while in Harkovich's control range, models in his battle group gain plus 3 arm. Models in his battle group beginning their activations in his control range can charge or make slam power attacks without spending focus. A model in Harkovich's battle group that declares a charge or slam against an enemy model while in his control range can make a basic range attack before advance. Hour of the Wolf left.
So
it's like he hails from a simpler.
That's probably true.
Is it?
It also feels like for a long time, Preventer Press was like super concerned about armor buffs in Kador.
Because allegedly, like the Jack's base like armor was a little
too
higher
tough to kill, or I don't know.
We don't know. I mean, we don't know why.
We're speculating.
Yeah, we're speculating. Well, but it does feel like for the longest time, Kador had no armor buffs of any kind because there was, you know, for whatever reason.
Meanwhile, Signar's like, sure, double arcane shield plus 5 armor feat, no problem.
Yeah,
but it does a little bit seem strange to me that his feat is plus 3 arm. I'd feel a lot happier with 4.
Because of how long
it is kind of. I'd be kind of curious, like if
we lived in an alternate universe where Harkovich was made
was
today,
released right now.
Yeah,
what would he look like?
Yeah, I don't know.
Don't have the answer to that.
His art would be more cartoony. And the ham probably would be a ham.
I mean, to be fair, the stuff that can really reach and defeat arm 23, I don't feel like is quite as common as it was at the time of his release. I could be wrong, but it feels like at that time.
What do you mean by that? I guess
it just felt like that there was Banes everywhere.
And you're saying when he originally?
Yeah, I mean we're talking 9 years old.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm not saying that it's the equivalent of arm 4 today, but
He released in Mark II, correct?
Mm-hmm. He was one of the early releases in Mark II.
Yeah.
He released...
I think he right around when...
Yeah, when we reviewed him.
Yeah.
June 2011.
Holy. So I do have a... So there's this awesome website called discountgamesinc.com.
I've heard of it.
And they have tournament lists on there. What's your guess on how old the most recent Harkovich list is?
Oh, I feel like this is going to make me sad. 4 years.
No, it's not that old. It's 2018 WTC.
Well, that's not too bad. A couple years.
And really, year and a half.
So what theme list was it in?
So it is Jaws of the Wolf. Do you want to give us a quick rundown of that?
Let's see. Jaws of the Wolf can take Kator Warcasters, non-character war decks, Behemoth, Black Ivan, Battle Mechanic models, Cossack models units, Chaozzi models units, Widowmaker models units, solos with the battle group controller special rule, Yuri the Axe, Grey Lord Forge Seer solos, Manhunter solos, Wardog solos, Grey Lord Adjunct solos, and then can also include his requisition options are one Chaozzi Eliminator unit, one Kator Command Attachment, one smaller medium-based Kator. And then the benefits are Kator War Decks in the Army Game Pathfinder, and before models are deployed at the start of the game, you can place one 5-inch AoE Forest Terrain anywhere completely within 18 inches of the rear table edge.
Okay.
All right, so here is the list. We can go ahead and talk about this and then say if we like it or want if you would do something completely different.
So 2018, that version of the list, this wouldn't have had the...
It wouldn't have used requisitions. It did have free models.
Yeah. Okay, lay it on.
Which would be similar.
Yeah, pretty similar. Right. So we've got Harkovich, the Behemoth, Behemi-Mimi, Destroyer, Kodiak, and a Marauder.
That is a lot of... A
lot of beef.
Okay.
After that, we have Grey Lord Forge Seer times 2.
Okay.
They're both going to be free. A Widowmaker Marksman. a free Yuri the Axe, yes, and two Chaosy Eliminators.
That's the little two-man Chaosy, mm-hmm, unit,
yep,
right?
Yep. And that's the list.
That's it.
Yep. So,
isn't this why you play Harkovich? Because you want to push stompy robots around the table?
Well, let's talk a little bit about what this list does.
Okay.
Yes, that's true. But something that's kind of interesting about this is you will have the Kodiaks trample forward, and then they will vent steam, okay, and then they can do their field marshal reposition.
Back out of their own steam.
Back out, right, of the steam, okay, and have kind of a pseudo cloud wall with some beef lining up behind it.
3-4 and 3-4. That's pretty solid cloud wall.
Pretty good. Pretty decent.
It's not like, I see what you're calling it.
Okay. Yeah, it sort of depends on. I mean, at the time, Steamroller wasn't quite as wide as it is now. And
yeah,
and we don't know what Steamroller holds in the future. But these sorts of lists that could kind of bunch up a little bit may come back in fashion depending on where the scenarios go.
Right. It will be interesting to see what sort of changes Steamroller has in the.
Yeah, I've noticed Hungerford likes to make bigger changes every other year.
Yeah.
And this is kind of the next. This is the year where it could.
There should be a bigger change in theory.
Yeah, I wouldn't be so shocked by it.
I'm guessing that's probably not going to happen just because they're so busy with Warcaster.
Would Harkovich, would he use mobility in this? Like, would mobility be out and the Jacks would go that much further forward, mm-hmm, to lay out the cloud wall before they reposition?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's cool.
So, any thoughts, critiques, anything else about this list?
So, okay, so I have a question. I mean, 2018 was the last time we saw this list. Did it just fall out of favor? Did the meta pass it?
So, when you say fall out of favor.
Okay, was it, did it never quite achieve?
I would never say that this was an in favor list. This would have been a dark horse list.
Okay.
At the time.
It still is.
Yeah.
I think it has less chance of success now because.
Right.
Because the scenarios are more spread out.
So I will say, yes. I will say that one thing that, so it does kind of want to group up together in the,
it's
all your with metal, its force. Right.
Yeah, it's hard to cover everything with this cloud wall when you have to send the cloud creators out to the flanks. It also hurts that Harkovich's control area is relatively small for a list that has mostly Jackson.
So the, I will say though that one thing that's nice with it is that the Grey Lord Forge Seers, the Widowmaker Marksman, Yuri, those are all pretty good options for solos to be able to go on to
they're kind
flags.
Of lone good self.
I mean, if there's a forest out there, Yuri could stand on the backside, right, of a forest and just be invincible, nigh invincible for the majority of the game.
Right. And then
he won't do a lot.
two units of Chaosy Eliminators is also pretty good. For scoring the
issue with all that stuff is that if it has to hold a location,
right, it's more
focused of the, fire will get it
then
rid
you're
of
sad
it.
And it's also the issue of, like we'd already said, things are grouped together and it's kind of an issue when you are if you have to split up any. So
are there more recent like releases that might tune this list up that might, I mean, I know it's still a dark horse, but that would, and the one I'm asking because I'm looking at the Grey Lord Adjunct, which aren't they a fairly recent release?
Yeah, that would be one of the things that would help tune it.
Yeah, like I don't know if you'd have them instead of a Forge Seer or like.
No, you'd probably do it instead of the Widowmaker Marksman, okay. I'm guessing.
I the problem is that makes the list even more bricky.
Bunchy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was wondering if it helped because
I think it does. I think it's I think it's a good change. I think it's something you could explore.
It shores up a weakness that the list has.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting because you could. Could you use guidance to then lay down your own cloud wall and then shoot through your own cloud wall and gain some benefit that way? Or were you already kind of doing that? Were you already firing with the behemoth and then...
Usually your order of activations make it so that you just do the behemoth first,
and
shoot.
And then lay down
It's more having magic weapons to be able to affect incorporeal.
With guidance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I see. As far as the weakness that you're
right now. Right.
Okay.
It does help. I mean, the fact that you were constrained with order of activation,
right,
before.
Yeah.
I mean, that always helps when you're like, well, I don't have to worry about that. I have a solution. The truth is that guidance is more common than it was 2 years ago, and there's going to be more opponents that have,
right,
it as well.
Right.
Oh, and they're going to see through your,
correct,
cloud wall.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's grade this caster.
Exciting.
So first we have his feet. So on a scale of 4 to 10,
can't choose a 7.
No, that's only spells.
That's only spells that you can't choose.
I say we expand that.
Oh, okay.
Well,
Trevor's feeling crazy today.
It feels slightly above average. I have a hard time grading defensive feats very. Like, you can't use this offensively very well.
Some of them,
it depends on how defensive they are.
Right, if it's a true time walk, then that can be pretty good.
Yeah, that's. I mean, I guess this feat can be offensive because of the charge or slam that make a basic range attack.
Oh, geez, that's.
But that's like.
Ignore that. That's not okay, even really.
I was like, that's only going to apply to. Well, I guess he's got.
He's got quite a few shots.
Destroyer, Behemoth. It's only Destroyer and the Behemoth that it's going to apply to.
Honestly, that's just gravy. It doesn't feel like it's.
You're popping the feat for the plus three armor, right?
Yeah. And the free charges.
Oh, is it free charges?
Yeah. Take a shot, free charge, plus three armor. I mean, this feels below average.
Like 4?
We don't rate things 4s. It's a 5.
A 5 is average.
On our scale.
It's the lower end of average.
Okay.
It's speed on the
treadmill.
Listen, we're on the 4.
We're on the chain attack scale, Josh. Where a 5 is below average.
Where a 4 is an F.
Yeah, 4 is awful.
Far below average.
You don't want your caster to get a 4.
I like a 4.
Okay. Spells.
I'm still giving.
You're whispering. Spells. Look, ability seems strong.
Go ahead and read through his list.
Okay, it's Bombshell, Broadside, Jumpstart, Mobility. They're expensive.
Yeah.
Yes. He's a focus 6, and 3 of his 4 spells cost 3?
Yes.
That's hard. Would you ever build him with more ranged jacks? I mean, because the whole shtick is Kodiaks have the cloud wall, huh? Hmm. Okay. On a scale of, I can go
4 to 10
to
without.
Well, it's not 4.
Without
is
a
it?
7 on spells.
Ah, they are so expensive. It feels like you gotta.
It does.
They're also very
penalize him.
Uninspired and unexcited. They're not exciting except for mobility.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, I love mobility. I think it's a great spell. But the rest of his spell list is poop.
Sadness.
For Trevor to poop on.
Yes.
Yes.
I say a 5.
Whoa.
No,
whoa.
No. Let's not get crazy here.
3.
Well, no. Mobility brings it to it.
Really?
Okay, good.
And we're on a scale of 4 to 10.
I mean, if you're using Bombshell, something has gone horribly wrong, right? Unless maybe you're closing out a game with it.
I'm not a critic.
Why are you using Bombshell?
That's what I'm saying. It feels like you're in trouble if you've done that.
Even then, you've got better expenditures of your focus.
Yeah, right.
It's a shitty nuke, and I don't know why we would penalize someone for having a shitty nuke.
It's a PAL 13 AOE. Why would you not take a range 12 hand cannon shot and boost the attack and damage roll and still have an extra focus left?
Because you're fishing for a crit that will throw them D6 inches directly away.
Probably out of range of your other attacks.
This plan's getting better and better.
I like the 4. The 4 makes a lot of sense.
Survivability.
Does your opponent have guidance?
He is 14, 16, and if he's base to base with the faction Warjack, he becomes 16, 18 and cannot become knocked down.
16, 18 seems... What happens if somebody slams his jack over him to base with? He still doesn't get knocked down, right?
That's the rules guy there.
Would we have fact checkers? No. Don't ask me.
I do have to, like...
Sorry.
I'm looking at his artwork.
You were asking whether or not Broadside, if you threw something...
I was just wondering if you could build a list around...
Oh, around Broadside. Yes, you can.
With more ranged jag.
I mean, one of the common ones was Victor.
Oh.
His really long range, like, fire AOE. Yeah. Oh.
But then you're not doing the cloud wall, right?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's other ways to build him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways, this is probably one of my least favorite models in Kador.
Oh, it's pretty static. Like,
just because he's kind of like this chunky little...
He's like, I'm holding a ham. Coming at you. Would you like some ham? How about a sandwich?
Got an ugly beard.
Would you like some ham? He looks like Hagrid gone bad.
Yeah, he kind of does.
Yeah.
Maybe Hagrid was already
bad. So survivability...
I mean, it feels like it's a little bit above average.
It is.
Because 16-18 is a stat
I'd say block. It's in the 7 or 8 range.
Yeah. I feel like he... Having said that, I feel like what I remember from this list is that he was still the weak link.
Mm.
Is that not the case?
Mm. Most of the time when you played against him was probably in Mark 2 where he could only camp. one or two focus, which was not nearly as effective as being able to reduce 5 or 10 damage.
Oh, right.
Yeah, he's going to be in the same sort of camp range number-wise, but it's way more effective.
It's more of a...
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Well, I like the 7. What's your vote, Trevor? Should it go all the way to an 8? Survivability?
16, 18.
If he's standing next to a jack.
But he brought so many jacks, he's always going to be standing next to
it. Yeah, he has to be base-to-base with the friendly faction warjack.
And what warjack do you want standing back next to him?
The behemoth. Shooting away.
Because nobody's ever shot a defense 10 warjack that you're standing next to before. I'm going to stick with 7.
Okay. Personal impact.
Considering 6.
Personal impact seems minimal.
He has a hand cannon.
He has a ham, Josh. He makes you lunch.
The minister.
It's a big impact.
So he's always going to shoot something. Is that what you're saying with that hand cannon?
Yeah,
I think so.
5.
Yeah, this is horribly average.
Yeah.
Force impact.
Is the hand cannon like the living ranged manifestation of average?
In War Machine, yes.
Yeah.
I'm the living manifestation of average in real life. I'm 5'9".
Force impact.
Solidly middle class.
What does mobility give you for force impact?
And field marshal. Feet.
Oh, that's true.
I like his field marshal quite a bit.
Yeah.
I think that's the most interesting thing about him.
Yeah, because even when you're not using it just for the Kodiak thing, you can reposition after a charge, right?
Yeah, as long as it's successful.
Why would you want to? That's what I meant, a successful charge.
To get out of the way. You'd rotate off to the side.
To leave the lane open.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Or if you kill your target.
Yeah.
To just back up.
Or go deeper.
7 for force impact?
Yeah, I like that.
Sorry, something about she said joke, but...
Oh, good save. I'm just so innocent, Trevor.
Win condition.
So, having talked this through, it feels like scenario is his weak one.
Potentially, yeah.
But I also don't see that he has an assassination... Super good assassination vector.
No.
So like his
should
best
be fine on time.
And yeah. I know that's like the number one reason I would consider playing him in this list. I have less than 15 models. Yes, please. But does he have a pretty good attrition potential?
Yeah.
Battle because of just all the hitboxes.
Yeah, that's his thing.
Because that's about all he's got left, right? Well, it feels like a 5. Then it feels kind of averagey because he's lower on those other. Or does scenario pull him down?
I can see
even
arguments on a 4.
Right.
I think the and again, this could all change with a different steamroller.
Yeah,
but
sure.
In the current
sure.
steamroller environment,
right?
It seems like your win condition is probably fighting uphill.
Yeah, because your loss condition is overpowering it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so finally, his grade
feels like a C to me. It feels pretty average. Maybe even a C.
I was gonna like the warm spot in my heart.
Yeah,
Markovich was going to say C+.
Really? Why do you have a warm spot in your heart? You literally just bagged on his model.
Well,
he doesn't have good fluff, does he? They're like, he escaped from a school for magical children.
They're like, oh, we're not going to add him into the henchhold because no one gives a flying flip about him.
There are no bothers given for Markovich.
So I was going back to episode 2 to try to find our original grade on him, but we didn't that early in our process. We didn't actually put the grade
on him. Man, I would love to have all of the, like, I guess these are memes rewritten with the no bothers. Like, behold the field upon which my bothers grow. It is fallow.
So whatever we gave him back then, which I think was probably like a C, it's probably not changed. I'm just doing it for posterity's sake.
Okay, so what was the second caster?
Doubling down.
In episode 2?
My notes say Scavarus.
Scavarus. So, it is a lich dude.
Lord Exhumator Scavarus.
I prefer Lord Exhumator Lich Dude.
I like that better. He is a focus 7, Crix Warcaster. Speed 6, strength 8, mat 6, rat 4, def 14, arm 17, command of 7 on a medium base, undead. His weapon, Avernus. Range 2, power strength 14, magical, like blade claw, right? Isn't that basic?
We need to grade him on the miss base size like scale. Like, how far off is he from his actual, what he should have been on?
Do you think he should have been a large base?
Have you ever seen him on his medium base?
Yeah, it's kind of chunky.
It's a bit of
he's
a joke.
Chonky. Yeah. He has 18 hitboxes also and 27 warjack points. His ability, Scavarus has Knowledge of the Damned. When a model in its control range makes an attack or damage roll, This model can spend a soul token to cause that model to reroll that roll. Each roll can be rerolled only once due to knowledge of the damned. He is Soul Taker Cole Soul. This model can gain soul tokens. When a living enemy model is destroyed within 2 inches of this model, I hate this ability for the record. This model gains the destroyed model's soul token. After this model replenishes its focus during your next control phase, replace each soul token with one focus point.
Why do you hate it?
I hate it because you have to be so close. 2 inches feels so close. Like, I'm thinking of it from Maelok, obviously.
Right? Honestly, it's on a bunch of Crix casters merely for fluffery.
And Avernus is a Thresher, but a star attack. This model makes one melee attack with this weapon against each model in its line of sight that is in this weapon's melee range. Thresher attacks are simultaneous. His spells. Death Ward is cost 2, range 6, upkeepable. Target-friendly faction model unit gains plus 2 arm. If an affected Warjack is damaged, choose which column suffers the damage. Models are not affected while out of formation. Excarnate is cost 3, range 10, POW 13. When a living enemy warrior model is boxed by Excarnate, remove it from play. You can then add 1 grunt to a friendly faction small-based undead unit in the spellcaster's control range. Place the grunt in formation and completely within 3 inches of the spellcaster. The grunt must forfeit its combat action this turn, the turn it is put in. Feast of Worms is cost 4, range 10, AoE 4, POW 12, upkeepable. While in the AoE, enemy models suffer minus 2 arm. When a living enemy model is destroyed in the AoE, the spellcaster gains the destroyed model's soul token, regardless of the proximity of the other models. The AoE remains in play as long as upkeep is paid. Icy Grip is cost 2, range 8, upkeepable. Target warrior model unit without immunity cold suffers minus 2 defense and cannot run or make power attacks or special attacks. And Soul Harvester is cost 2, range 6, upkeepable. When target-friendly faction model unit destroys a living enemy model with a melee attack, the spellcaster gains the destroyed model's soul token regardless of the proximity of other models. And Telekinesis, which is cost 2, range 8, place target model complete within 2 inches of its current location. When Telekinesis targets an enemy model, it is an offensive spell and requires a magic attack roll. A model can be placed by Telekinesis only once per turn. His feat, Black Gate, since renamed to Omadamos, that's his feat. While in Scavarus's control range, friendly faction models gain boosted magic attack rolls. When Scavarus casts a spell, reduce the cost of the spell by 1. When an enemy model casts a spell while in Scavarus's control range, increase the cost by 1. Black Gate lasts for 1 round.
So I very specifically remember us grading him and being like, oh, this is, we're giving him this grade, but who knows what might come out for Crix in the future that is going to.
Was he one of the early lists? One of the early?
He came out at the same time as Harkovich.
Okay.
He wasn't one of the early. He was one of the early Mark II releases.
Okay.
And at the time, we mentioned that because we didn't know if there was going to be this magic user unit that was going to come down the pipe at some point. So,
spoiler.
It didn't.
a magic user unit would have been too strong for him.
Yeah, his feats.
Gain boosted magic attack rolls.
Oh, yeah. So right now, is he the only one who really takes advantage of that part of his feat?
Well, they have Warwitch Sirens and other things like that. But yeah, for the most part.
Wither Shadow.
Yeah, he's the main focus of it. I think if you focus too much on that, you're probably making.
So does he have a recent list? Like,
not really. It's about the same time frame.
Okay. As Harkovich, you're saying.
So here's a 2018 World Team Championship list.
Okay.
This is from France, Vincent Radix. He's doing Black Industries, and he has Lord Eximator Scavarus, Deathjack, Desecrator, Desecrator, Night Wretch, Night Wretch, Wither Shadow Combine, Iron Lich Overseer, Jack Marshalline, a Seether.
Wait, what?
Josh. Qua? Machine Wraith, Warwitch Siren, and Max Crow's Cutthroats.
That's the unit, huh?
So he must be turning people around?
Turn stuff around, backstab.
If I remember right, the Desecrator is the one that creates arc nodes? Shoots models and they turn into arc nodes? Am I thinking of a different Jack?
Let's look it up real quick.
Oh, dang
it.
I have to add for it.
So I was thinking of a different one.
You said the Devil Shadow Mutineers, right?
Yeah, it's the one I was thinking of. It has the Desecrator has Accumulator Bane, and then it has Crit Shred on Ingrievous Wounds on its melee weapon, and then it puts out an AoE in play with its gun. What were you asking, Josh?
Oh, I was just making sure. You said Devil Shadow Mutant.
No, I said Crow's Cutthroats. Yeah. 10-man unit that they'll turn stuff around, potentially armor debuff it, and then they'll be rolling 3 dice damage on ranged attacks. So let's go ahead and I guess first off, any thoughts on this list or on Scavvers in general?
Corruptor was the jack that I was thinking.
Okay, right, so yeah. I have a couple quick questions.
Yes.
I this is clearly a talent to like see the abilities that shouldn't won't matter.
Okay.
Where the crap is the Excarnate? Does he not end up using that for the grunt?
Oh, I mean, that used to be back when we did this, that would have been a big deal.
When we originally graded him, because you would have had
Bile Thrall, Purge, Excarnates going on.
So now you've swung like way clear the other way and you're just not even.
Probably not.
Yes, it's not a huge deal.
What was the over?
Seether.
So the funny thing is I think we overgraded him at the time. We were taking a wild guess. We didn't know because he hadn't had enough, you know, we hadn't seen him enough at that time. The funny thing is, I think we probably overgraded him, but I actually think he's gotten way better over the years because they changed him. So he's probably still the same grade. Double down on my grade, not the same grade.
Probably part of the reason why we overgraded him as well is that at the time I was playing a lot of assassination,
mm-hmm.
and he enables a fair bit of assassination play, and so we probably graded him high because of that. I remember playing him with Rorsch and Brine, Ninja Pig back in the day. And,
oh, really?
Yeah, and people would be like, "What just happened?"
Like, so you would TK Ninja Pig and like
Ninja Pig. Yeah.
One of my favorite stories is in relation to Scavvers.
Were there many bothers given in this story, Jay?
Yeah, kind of. there was a guy who was bother off? There was a. I think I've told this before.
We've told it multiple times, actually, over the years.
This will be a condensed version of
okay.
it.
Okay.
We went down to Salt Lake for a tournament. There was a guy who was kind of a keyboard cowboy down there that rubbed Trevor wrong. And so...
Not just me.
Sure.
I wasn't the one...
The internet wrong.
I wasn't the one who paid the TO to match you two up. that tells you...
I thought
that
you were.
Really happened?
No, I was not the one who
paid... The TO got the like TO paid got, $5 or something.
Okay,
$10.
I remember this story because I'm like scandal every was, time you tell this story.
$20.
That is
$20.
It was $20 to match Jay and this and person up.
Like
the
best
round.
Part about it is like I think I went second. He runs forward. I run forward. He does some stuff, and then I start going for the assassination run. And it's only until about like halfway through the turn that he realizes that he's in trouble.
He's proper bothered at that point.
Yes, and at that point he's like. Oh, I'm not sure this is in range. And then he died.
To a ninja pig.
Okay.
All right. On with the grade then.
Feet. It's fine.
Is it? Well, you basically don't get much advantage from half of it.
I mean, he does. And
he takes good advantage of it, you're saying.
Yeah.
Turns out TKs for one.
1 point telekinesis are
that's a big deal.
Pretty nifty.
One of the things that's cool that he didn't have back when we graded him last time was knowledge of the damned. The ability to, I'm not going to do anything extra. I'm just going to cast the spell plain. And if I need to reroll it,
then I can.
Then spend one focus to reroll it.
Yeah.
The fact that it does not mention faction models, that he can do it on the Crow's Cutthroats is big. Mm-hmm. Like, this is an ability that he didn't... I know I'm getting a little off topic because we're talking about spells or whatever, but... Or feet, excuse
feet,
me.
Yeah.
But I think that's something we shouldn't lose sight of here. So, I think the feet is slightly above average, but it's not, like, fantastic. I'd give it a solid 6.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Spells.
I mean, I feel like TK puts you at 8. Because I can't mention the number right below 8.
Yeah, I was going to say, it actually puts your base at probably 7.
That's what I think.
Yeah, but he has a lot of... He has a good toolbox.
Yeah, I think
he
does.
The thing that he suffers from is the...
Well, and he can even cast them all, too.
Yeah, that's great. Icy Grip is fantastic. The issue is that he lives in a world where Denegra 1 exists with Parasite.
And so Crippling compared Grasp. To her, he looked...
Well, not just her. I mean, we're talking about the whole of Crix.
Right.
He looks pretty generic.
That's always an issue with Crix, isn't it?
Yeah, but he looks pretty generic compared to all the other ones because a lot of these spells they have too, and they maybe have a better combination
right, a
with
better
these spells.
Right. Yeah. One quick note. Previously, when we would play him, you would flip someone around, and he wouldn't get the back bonus minus 2 defense because it would be like you had to start your turn in the back arc. And
yeah, and now that's...
So now he does.
Yeah.
I mean, he could
that'll make it easier
to... He could
to,
have the other spell.
Right.
Yeah, TK first and then add all the other stuff and get a plus two on all of it.
I do think eight's like, probably good.
I think eight's probably. Do you TK him and then do you IC grip so they have an additional minus two defense for
yeah,
the rest?
Yeah, if you're going for an assassination run.
Okay, cool.
Next revivability, he is a 14-17 with 18 boxes and 7 focus. Seems like he dying is very rarely his
issue.
He should
be able to camp pretty easy.
You know, I look at Harkovich in his 14-16. I'm like, why does the undead guy get one more armor?
Because he's undead.
Have you seen the iron?
His armor is literally made of bones.
It's an iron lich.
Okay.
It's the iron lich chassis.
All right.
Now I wish that Neo Mechanica had like, let's see, what would be the space equivalent? Adamantium liches. I was going to say steel, but
they're void liches.
Oh, even better.
I think that he generally can stand pretty far back. He doesn't have to get too close. He has decent stats. He can potentially put Death Ward on himself, although I don't know that he would. But if he's threatened, a Death Ward on himself, making him 14-19, stand behind a wall or something, all of a sudden he becomes
nigh unkillable.
Nigh unkillable, but certainly a more difficult target to do.
So does it push him up to an 8?
No.
Okay.
So a 7.
7. Personal impact.
Well, we just said he's going to stand far back.
No, but this is also...
Is TK personal impact?
That would be more force impact. That's good. But it would be whether or not... How frequently he's doing Excarnate or Feast of Worms to as offensively?
I think he does Feast of Worms probably every other turn, maybe.
Sure.
Maybe more frequently than that, depending on the matchup. It does feel like he's doing stuff each round. I wouldn't be shocked if he killed a few models here and there. He does actually have a reasonable power and strength on his weapon.
And it also seems like on his feet turn, he can have the option potentially of going off personally.
Yeah.
Through spells.
Yeah, especially if he's lined up enough souls.
Right. Still all that said, 6 to 7 range.
I like a 6.
Yeah, 6 is yeah.
I don't feel like you can get as many souls in the modern
in
era.
Today's
yes, in today's soul starved world.
Yeah, force impact.
Okay, so TK,
Icy Grip, Feast of Worms, Death Ward.
It makes me sad that Excarnate, but I mean, you could build him so it did.
I guess theoretically, I'm not sure it's a good enough spell to justify building around.
Yeah,
I'd probably say a 7 on force impact.
You could argue me to a 6.
Okay. I think 7's good. You have a defense debuff, potentially 2 defense debuffs with telekinesis and icy grip, an armor debuff. You have movement shenanigans.
Yeah, it's hard
for him. An armor buff.
Yeah, it's harder. He has to kind of pick 1 or 2 on most turns.
Yeah.
On feet turn, he can do all of them. But
yeah.
Yeah, it's a little rough to make it all work. All the pieces don't always fit together.
Win condition.
Is assassination still...
It's a tool in the box, but it's okay. It's not the primary reason you're taking him.
If you're taking him, you certainly have to consider it.
Okay,
like it's got to be something that's in your back pocket at all times. I think you can't just completely ignore it, because if you are completely ignoring it, there are better casters and critics to do the exact same thing.
Right. Yeah.
Seems
he
like
does.
He can cover scenario without too much trouble.
And telekinesis will help that as well.
Yeah.
I'd be maybe a little bit worried about an attrition race.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say about, because I'd be a little bit worried about time. Because it feels like he's...
I don't think he's necessarily above average.
Okay. He feels like a kind of one of those tricks.
You could definitely get in an analysis paralysis situation with him. Like, right.
What's the other way? Analysis. That's the non-rhyming.
Why would you? Why?
Yeah,
why though?
I don't know why I would.
I just read it.
You read it?
Yeah.
Somebody called it
analysis hesitation.
That sounds like they have the problem themselves, yeah, right. And they're looking to euphemize it to make it feel not as impactful.
Yeah, sure.
I would probably go with a 6.
This is 6
or
on,
7
on
win
condition.
Condition. Probably
I like a
6.
Yeah.
Finally, his grade.
I
think probably a B.
Yeah, it's a B too.
I think we gave him a B plus back then, so I'm contractually obligated to give that to him again.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, there okay. You go. Yeah,
actually, it was probably an A minus. I don't remember. But.
You're not fact checking.
No, hell no. I told you. That is the theme of this episode, Josh. We do not have fact checkers.
Fact check free.
No fact checking.
Okay, Josh, do you have a dad joke for us?
I do. Yes. I probably have used this. Do you know what the cannibal got was?
That's the whole point of dad jokes, Josh.
I know, that's true. What did the cannibal get when he was late for dinner?
What?
A cold shoulder.
Excellent. Well, our next episode, we are going to do episode one, casters, of War Machine Mark One, all about Chain Attack Mark Two.
The time machine continues.
Yes.
I love it.
So, very exciting.
All right.
Okay. Well, on that note, we'd like to thank everyone for listening to another episode of
Chain Attack.